The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Trivia Day, Tony. You got a piece of trivia for us?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I recently set the world record for hosting a television show from one's own attic. The old record was 2 days.
Yeah, you blew that one. You blew right through that one.
Boom. Yeah. Get out of here. Yeah. Get to the side of the road, pal.
What are we on, 650 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, wild developments in the transfer portal, Cooper Kupp argues against his own greatness, and Wilbon's Bulls make it 8 in a row. But we begin with the Steelers beating the Browns to keep their faint playoff hopes alive in what appeared to be Ben Roethlisberger's last home game in Pittsburgh. Roethlisberger won, but threw 46 passes to gain only 123 yards. After the game, Roethlisberger lingered on the field, hugging his kids, breathing it all in. On the other side, Baker Mayfield had another dismal night. He was sacked 9 times, threw 2 interceptions, and had 5 passes batted down. Wilbon, what are your thoughts on Roethlisberger's night and Mayfield's future in Cleveland?
We'll deal with Mayfield quickly first, Tony. He's got shoulder surgery coming on his off-throwing shoulder, the left shoulder. I'm pointing to the wrong. Yeah, the left shoulder. He's not going to play in the season finale, regular season finale, and that's going to take care of him in Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland, what a disappointment again. Now, let me push them aside. Because Ben Roethlisberger had what I expected him to have in terms of performance. He expected what I expected, I expected him to have a warm and fuzzy evening, and he had that as well. And it should be warm and fuzzy. 18 years? The guy's never had a losing season. He's had like 2 games where his team was not in playoff contention in 18 years. This is insane. You know, it reminds me of the Kanye line, 18 years, 18 years. This is forever. And I know, you know, he has suffered a little bit because of the presence of Tom Brady, and people act like Tom Brady's the only guy to play forever. No. Ben Roethlisberger's played forever, and that warm and fuzzy evening in Pittsburgh, which he says is going to be his home, even though he's from a place only about 120 miles away, I thought that was fitting. I thought he deserved it. I thought he needs to go. He needs to go in the Hall of Fame immediately, Tony. So good for him specifically and personally.
Yeah. So I thought he won ugly, but he won. And Pittsburgh has a habit of winning ugly and winning. I thought it was wonderful that on his last home game, and he knew it was his last home game, that he was able to win. We have seen him in decline lately, but never as much of a decline as, say, Cam Newton or Joe Flacco. He's never been benched. He's been a rock-solid player. He's been a good starter. And I will say this, that when he went around slapping hands with everybody he could reach, that reminded me of Cal Ripken when Cal Ripken did that in Baltimore when he broke Lou Gehrig's record. Let me get to Baker Mayfield for a second. I think he'd be better off someplace else than Cleveland. And you're alluding to this. Cleveland is overhyped as much as any team in the league except Dallas, and their results are less than Dallas. Baker Mayfield has shown flashes, but he never burned. He never burned. I suspect they're going to keep him. If I were the Giants, I might want him. Washington, Carolina, Houston, there's a lot of teams out there. I want to make one other note because you talked about him never having a losing season. Mike Tomlin's been there 15 years. They're 8-7-1 now. So they will be at worst 500 this year. Mike Tomlin has never, ever had a losing season. He has the record now for starting his career without losing seasons. He's going to need a quarterback. I wonder what he thinks about Mayfield, Mike. He sees him twice a year. I wonder.
I think it's time for him to move out of that division. And again, I mean, cheers. Cheers to Ben Roethlisberger. I know it's not ending exactly as he'd like to see it end with a great season, but, you know, I mean, they got a miracle Hail Mary of a chance to get in the playoffs. I doubt that'll happen. At the end of yesterday's show, we noted that Oklahoma's star freshman quarterback, Caleb Williams, D.C.'s own, had entered the transfer portal. Just hours later, the Sooners landed UCF quarterback Dylan Gabriel, who decided to bail on a commitment he made to UCLA 3 weeks ago. Tony, what do you make of this situation and how the transfer portal is working overall?
So let me start by saying that for many, many years, like from the beginning of college athletics, college athletes were denied fundamental human rights. Okay, they were. Denied fundamental human rights of money and of liberty. Movement. They were never paid. They're an unpaid labor force completely. And if they wanted to transfer, they used to have to sit out a year. And if you wanted to transfer in certain conferences, Mike, you had to sit out 2 years. So anything that gives them equity, anything that gives them money, anything that gives them freedom is just and fair. Having said that, this thing is weirdly strangling college football.
It's insane.
There's no continuity at all. All you get out of a player, you get 1 year. And then the player can say, I'm out. I'm into the transfer portal. It's just this sort of, there's no constraints on players. There's no contract like with pros that says you can't do this until you're eligible to do this. It's not that I'm against it, but if I was a coach, it would drive me crazy.
Yeah, well, too bad, because coaches have been leaving, coming and going like a revolving door for the 150-year history of college football, so later for them. And this, you're right, Tony, it's crazy. You don't know from day-to-day depth chart. Are you kidding me? I'm already lobbying for Caleb Williams because in Washington, D.C. at Gonzaga High School, which you and I know well, he looked good in purple. So I'm hoping he might think he looks good in purple again. There's no tampering. What tampering? They just wake up and go, you know, I'd like to be on the other side of the country. And you're right, Tone.
Yes.
They had fewer rights than baseball players. And we know baseball players during the reserve clause, they had nothing. They had nothing. The reserve clause basically made them indentured, you know, servants. So I just laugh at it. I wake up every day and I laugh at what is going on with the transfer portal in both sports. But right now, it's like football's hot stove.
Mike, Florida just hired a guy to be the director of recruiting, and he's just recruiting the transfer portal. The transfer portal, I envision it as this very fertile farm where there's fruits and vegetables ready to be picked. You go in there with a bag, you pick what you want. Look, let's take Caleb Williams
for a second. Or at least Skittles.
All right. Caleb Williams beat out a Heisman Trophy candidate and became a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Yes.
They're both leaving, and the coach has left. It's such a mysterious term, transfer portal, like you're going to be teleported someplace.
But yes,
this
like
kid
it's
who's
outer
going
space.
To Oklahoma. Mike, the kid going to Oklahoma goes to the transfer portal out of UCF, goes to UCLA, stays 18 days, goes back in the portal and leaves. What do you think? What do you think Chip Kelly's thinking? What is he thinking?
Ooh, Chip Kelly is just sitting right at the door of the transfer portal so he can get whoever's next, and he watches people leave his school.
It's just, it's again,
it's crazy.
I'm for it, but it's weird. We move
Caleb,
on.
You and your father.
Cooper Kupp
you and
of the
your dad,
Rams.
Got my number.
Cooper, you know, purple. Kansas State wears purple. Cooper Kupp of the Rams is on the verge of setting NFL records for passes caught and receiving yards gained. He may well exceed Michael Thomas's 149 receptions with the Saints 2 years ago and Calvin Johnson's 1,964 yards with the Lions in 2012. Kupp says the record should carry an asterisk because he will set them in 17 games and they did it in 16. Wilbon, is Kupp right?
I don't know if he's right, but I just like his spirit about this. I like his unselfishness.
Yeah, me too.
I like the fact that he is seeing something greater than himself and saying, hold on, I'm not just going to plow the guys who've done this in 16 games. Just like, Tony, you and I are old enough to remember when, I think I'm old enough to remember, I know I remember when they went from 14 to 16. I might even vaguely remember when they went from 12 to 14. Jim Brown set records that lasted forever in a 12-game season, and people don't even know that.
That's right.
So good for Cooper Kupp, Tony, whose triple crown, if he should accomplish that, and I don't think he will, but it doesn't matter. He's so close to it. I mean, it's just amazing that he got that close to the Triple Crown with number of catches and yards and touchdowns. Good for him for not being a selfish bum. Love that about – I don't even know Cooper Kupp, but I like this about him.
Totally agree. Totally agree about Cooper Kupp. And now I'm going to pull age on you because I'm going to talk about the most famous incident in the history of sports having to do with an asterisk. And okay. That is the record that matters most in American sports, the single-season home run record.
Yeah. Right.
So – in 1961, Roger Maris hit 61 home runs, breaking by one the mark that Babe Ruth hit, 60 home runs. Greatest record in the history of sports. He had 162 games on the schedule to do it, and Ruth only had 154. In game 157, Maris hit 60, and in game 160, Maris hit 61, and people said, oh, there's got to be an asterisk. There's got to be an asterisk. And everybody agreed there's got to be an asterisk. I'm the only one at ESPN old enough to remember that this happened. There's no asterisk anymore. People remember 61, and they remember Babe Ruth. Not all records are equal, Mike. Nobody knows. In the NBA, nobody can tell you how many points the scoring leader had in the full season. In the NFL, nobody can tell you how many yards the passing leader had in a full season, right? No, nobody really understands this. And as you say, the NFL went from 12 to 14 to 16, and now they're going to 18. Here's what we could agree on. Doesn't matter what the record is. Jim Brown's the greatest runner of all time. Mike, T.J. Watt had 4 sacks last night. He's got 21 and a half. If he gets one more, he beats Michael Strahan, who got
Michael
a gift
Strahan,
sack.
He beats him.
A gift sack from Brett Favre in that last game. So are you going to say that if he beats it, it has to have an asterisk? What if I tell you he's only played 15 games?
Right.
Enough with asterisks.
I don't know.
If you set the
records,
you got it.
I don't even know how it works. It's too many games.
No, neither do
I. For the first time in pro football history, too many damn games.
Take a break. Coming up, Kyrie Irving, your boy, and Klay Thompson, mine.
He's
are expected to return to the court in coming days. Which one will have the bigger impact?
And which team would we rather see win and get into the playoffs? The Chargers or the Raiders?
1961, Roger Maris.
Yeah.
61 homers. Baseball records matter still.
It was two that season.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, stares into a mirror and concludes, still got it. What's first?
Toss-up. Which returning star will have the bigger impact, Kyrie Irving or Klay Thompson?
Well, if the laws stay the same in New York, the answer is Klay Thompson. Because he can play all the games and Kyrie Irving can only play the road games. And the Nets don't even need him on the road, Mike. They're 13-3 on the road without him. They're 10-9 at home without him, including a loss last night. So that's where the impact would be felt. I mean, to me, Klay Thompson is a great player returning to a great team, best record in the NBA, without any pressure. It's all gravy. So if Klay Thompson can play well, that's the bigger impact because they will win the NBA championship.
Yeah, but Tony, you're saying if, and that's a reasonable if. Klay Thompson hasn't actually played in the NBA for 2.5 years. June of 2019 is the last time Klay Thompson played, and he had two injuries. Look, I'm rooting for Klay Thompson. If you ask me who I'd rather have back, the answer would be Klay Thompson, who I know for a fact is not going to be disruptive. He's one of the most dependable, reliable people in the NBA in the last 20 years, at least, Klay Thompson. Kyrie, not so much. But Tony, Kyrie steps back in there, and he has played in a lot less time off than 2.5 years. They need Kyrie. They're going to have to look to him on some level. He's going to step right back in there and play. He's been playing at least scrimmaging, pickup games, whatever. He hasn't missed all this time. How is Klay just going to step on the court and beat Klay Thompson? That's not reasonable. He'll get there, hopefully, knock on wood, with good health in real time. Kyrie ought to start really close to that. So it should be, in terms of impact, Kyrie. Right away, should be Kyrie Irving.
Next. Next.
Toss up, who would you rather see win on Sunday night, the Chargers or the Raiders?
So I've been laboring under the assumption that the winner makes the playoffs and the loser is out. And today I heard about a scenario in which if they tie, they could both get in. I want to get this correct. The Steelers have to beat the Ravens, and the Jaguars at home have to beat the Colts. And then if these two teams tie, they get in. And you know what? Because this is the Sunday night game, they'll know. And if that exists, Mike, wouldn't it be great to see them just kneel down on the ball for 60 minutes in regulation and then through overtime for 0-0? Uncle Big Al will go crazy on that game. To get back to reality, I think the Chargers are a better team. I find myself rooting for the Raiders because they were going to go down the bowl. I was sure of that, and they didn't. They stayed afloat, and Rich Bisaccia, this guy should get rewarded for holding that team together.
He's done a good job doing that, Tony. I'm not rooting for the Raiders. I mean, they've been involved in stuff that's unfortunate and tragic and also sort of, you know, bordering, at least bordering, maybe all the way into lawlessness. I'm not rooting for the Raiders. And I know they've been that all the time. And there are times in my life I've rooted for the Raiders when Al Davis was there and John Madden. I've rooted for them at times, and then I can't root for them now. I'm rooting for the people in what used to be the Baby Blues. They ought to get rid of that mid-nearly Aqua Blue. Go back to the Baby Blues. What are you people doing? And it's the marketing people saying, oh, don't offend the people who like a darker blue. Take the marketing
people, march them out
of their offices.
You hadn't heard
get
that in a week, had you?
The
now
marketing people.
Marketing
they've
people
ruined
again.
The uniforms. You know they have.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, your boy Novak Djokovic gets
marketing
a vaccine
people.
Exemption to participate in the Australian Open.
And Tony really wants us to discuss the Bulls winning their 8th in a row. I know he does.
I've asked for that, The Chargers had great uniforms when Bambi
was playing.
They
did. They ruined them.
They had the
they
best uniforms.
Them. They got moronic marketing people they listen to.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 28th birthday, Derrick Henry. He's the wild card in the playoffs, isn't he? The Tennessee Titans are currently the number one seed in the AFC, even without Henry. With a healthy Henry in all their games at home, the Titans would be a good bet to make the Super Bowl. But how healthy will Henry be? How many carries will he get? How good will he be? Henry played just 8 games this season before getting hurt, and he's still the 6th leading rusher in the NFL. Henry's 937 yards are way behind Jonathan Taylor's 1,734. But Henry has more yards in 8 games than Ezekiel Elliott has in 16, and they have history. They both entered the league in 2016. Henry had won the Heisman at Alabama. Elliott, though, was the only running back picked ahead of Henry. Elliott went number 4. Henry went number 45. Yeah, 45. Every team in the league passed on Henry at least once, including Tennessee. How could everybody miss like this?
Tony, if they can get the bye and not play him in the season finale, and then you get the bye week and he gets 2 more weeks to play, I mean, it seems to be, to me, that he would be in that window where he could be the great Derrick Henry again. And if he is, lots of you other little people are in trouble.
Not so happy anniversary, Matt Hasselbeck. On this day 18 years ago, Hasselbeck famously exclaimed, "We want the ball and we're going to score," during the overtime coin toss in a wild card playoff game at Green Bay. Hasselbeck was a Seattle quarterback, and ultimately Seattle lost the game when Hasselbeck threw a pick six to Green Bay's Al Harris. Hasselbeck's now a broadcaster for ESPN, as is his younger brother Tim, also a former NFL quarterback. Sound familiar? Anything resembling the Manning brothers, Peyton and Eli, themselves former NFL quarterbacks? It goes a step further, as Archie Manning, father of Peyton and Eli, was himself an NFL player of great popularity with the New Orleans Saints. Don Hasselbeck, father of Matt and Tim, was a popular tight end with the New England Patriots.
If you're the father of either of these players, you gotta just walk around and say, "I must be the man. I must be the man, because I got multiple quarterbacks in the NFL." And by the way, if you're Archie Manning, you now got Snoop as a declared adopted son as of last night. So this is, you know, particularly cool.
Happy trails to any lingering uncertainty about Novak Djokovic competing in the Australian Open. Djokovic will play in the Australian Open after receiving a medical exemption from having to be vaccinated against COVID. Organizer of the Aussie Open had previously stipulated that all participants must be vaccinated or have a medical exemption granted by an independent panel of experts. The Open released a statement saying Djokovic was granted an exemption by, quote, two separate independent panels of medical experts, unquote. Two! Now, it's possible Djokovic, a notorious anti-vaxxer, had COVID in the last 6 months, which would allow for this exemption. But in the absence of specific information as to why the exemption was granted, it's also possible this was a spineless decision, that the Aussie Open simply want the world's number one player to win their tournament like he has nine times before, and in so doing, set the record for majors won, breaking his tie with Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal at 20. It feels like Australia, which has been so militant against the virus, just sold out for a pocket full of mumbles.
It did. Sold out, rolled over, spineless, gutless, if that's true. And I now specifically know, I know I'll be rooting against Djokovic if he just rolls in, because they'd let him. They wouldn't let a lesser player roll into the field like this. I'll be rooting against Djokovic personally. I know I will.
One clarification, Cooper Kupp likely to achieve the Triple Crown this season, but not the all-time single season records in all three categories. Way behind in receiving touchdowns, so let's go to the big finish if we could.
Let's do it.
Your Bulls beat the Magic for their eighth win in a row. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, longest win streak, Tony, since 2012 for the Bulls, since Derrick Rose was his reigning MVP, and the Bulls are the one seed going to the playoffs. Yes, we are rolling, baby. Ja Morant, 36-6-8. Grizzlies beat the Nets in Brooklyn for the fifth win in a row for Memphis. You think those fans down in Memphis still want to bench him?
In a word, no. Trae Young had an NBA season best 56 points in a loss to the Blazers. Are you impressed?
Got to be, even with a loss, Tony. I think Wilt had that and 14 assists. And 14 assists. It's a great night. Still a loss. The Washington football team will announce its permanent name and logo February 2nd. Any guesses on your behalf?
Yeah, Washington football team. Last one, something called the Texac Texas Bowl tonight. LSU K-State. Who you got, pal?
College football needs a commissioner as badly, if not more so, than college basketball.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. John Engelbrecht, shout out.
Bowl games, please. I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.